Hey, Justin.
Hey, Darren.
Yeah, welcome to another week three.
Yay!
Yay, it's that third week of the month where Justin and I hang out and talk about whatever just tickles our fancies.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get into that, real quick, I wanted to mention that the Geek Cave family is raising money for Children's Miracle Network through Extra Life. You can find details at geekcavepodcast.com. We're hoping to raise a couple $1,000s for CMN hospitals. We know times have been tough, exceptionally tough these past couple years, but any donation you can make is great and will make it worth your while because we've got a lot of great prizes. We won't get into all of that other than that, hey, for a $250 donation, you could join us on one of the shows.
Digitally, of course.
Yes, digitally, but that's still crazy that we're
doing
that.
It is, yeah.
Good Lord, who knows what we're going to end up with. But you can get all the details right now, geekcavepodcast.com. So it's my turn.
Yes, it is.
And last month you had a great tribute to the band Rush.
Yes.
And when I uploaded it, I made sure to include Rush, the band.
Yes. I did see that. Thank you. Yeah. Good call.
Yeah, well, you know.
Why is he talking about going fast?
There's so many things the internet could have taken from it, so... All right. So, Justin, I am going to send you a file with some musical samples.
Mm-hmm.
And you get that. And for our listeners' sake, I'm going to drop them into the recording at the same time. So y'all are going to be listening simultaneously. Just listen to these. Okay, what do all of those themes have in common?
My childhood.
Well, they were all composed by Koji Kondo, the subject of today's week three.
Huh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Now, when I texted Justin ahead of time to say, we're going to talk about Koji Kondo, he's like, I don't know who that is.
I know, I believe I said, I don't know who or what that is. Covering my bases.
Yeah, but you also said you were looking forward to learning.
I am. I'm always looking forward to learning.
All right, well, Koji Kondo is, in my opinion, one of the greatest composers to have never gotten the credit for it. So let's start from the beginning. He was born in Nagoya, Japan in 1961. He was an August baby, just like myself. He began taking lessons on the electric organ from the age of 5. Ooh. And eventually improved his skills in that instrument because he was part of a cover band that played jazz and rock music.
Yes!
Yeah. But really, it all got started in the early 80s. He studied at the art planning department at Osaka University of Arts. And now this is crazy. He has never actually received any classical training, nor has he ever been academically dedicated to music.
Huh.
Now, keep that in mind when we talk about the man whose body of work includes Punch-Out, Super Mario Brothers, Legend of Zelda, and the Star Fox series.
And considering that Legend of Zelda is a very kind of symphonic work, even the 8-bit on the original game, it just evokes that kind of epicness.
Yeah, well, see, it turns out that he fell in love with arcade games, Space Invaders and Donkey Kong specifically, in 81. And he said that he found the sound he had been looking for and believed that video games were the only space where he could achieve that sound.
Hmm.
Now, we've had Tommy Tallarico on the podcast before, the main Geek Cave podcast, and he's the guy behind Video Games Live, that series of orchestra concerts of video game music. Tallarico also responsible for the creation of the Intellivision. So, you know, he knows a thing or two, and he lists Koji Kondo as one of his inspirations. Koji Kondo, who, when hearing the bleeps and bloops from Space Invaders and Donkey Kong, is like, I can do that.
I can do that. I have a dream, and I can do this.
Yeah. So in 1984, he was a senior in high school. A senior at the Osaka University of Arts. And Nintendo basically sent his university a message saying they were recruiting for music composition and sound programming. So he went after it. Now, here's the funny thing. He got the job without sending any demo tapes in.
That is unheard of for a musician.
Yeah, he says, I found my way to Nintendo by looking at their job placement board. Now, you're supposed to apply to many different companies, but I saw the Nintendo ad and thought, that's it. That's the place. And so he was able to show them his skill in synthesizers, and away he went.
A man who knows his passions and his goals. Good for him.
Yeah. So he started with some home ports of their arcade games, such as Punch-Out, you know, and one of the songs you heard there in the musical file that I had. But he eventually scored the soundtrack for the first Super Mario Brothers game.
Nice.
Which I think you and I are on the same page in saying that the soundtrack alone is one of the things that made that game so iconic.
Yes. When they came out with the anniversary edition for the Wii,
yeah,
that included the soundtrack CD, I may or may not have sold the game back to GameStop but kept the CD.
That's fair. It's a good CD.
It is.
I
still have the game. It was Skyward Sword,
okay,
for the Wii that we sold back but kept the soundtrack disc for. No, I still have the Wii version of Mario All-Stars.
Well, I still have the, because I've got the CDs for Twilight Princess HD. I've got the CD for Ocarina of Time. You know, it's great, great music. But he started working on home ports of arcade games. Did the first Super Mario Brothers game. His goal at the time, he says, was to create short segments of music that could be repeated on loop without causing boredom. So think of the Mario Overworld theme, that iconic theme, and how it's only maybe 30 seconds long.
Yeah.
But it loops so well, and you're playing the game, you don't even notice that it's essentially a loop.
Mm-hmm.
He also planned on designing that music around the feeling of motion, so he took inspiration from Latin and waltz musical themes, which you may notice if you go back, especially the swimming level.
Yeah, that is a waltz. Yeah, that's a waltz.
Yeah. For the Zelda franchise, the original NES's game soundtrack had two really different feels. He had the overworld, the da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and then you had that moody dungeon music, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he said he did that because it's important to know immediately where you are within a game. So you know immediately whether you're above ground or below ground. But if you listen really, really close, he overlaid the dungeon music over a little bit of the overworld music. It's subtle, but it's there.
Hmm.
That's fantastic. But here's the thing that's crazy to me. Now, as of 2019, Koji Kondo had composed the soundtracks for 41 different Nintendo video games, right?
Nice.
He was also an advisor on another 77 titles. His music has been recreated by symphonies and live concerts. He's even teamed up with bands like Imagine Dragons when they performed at the Game Awards in 2014.
Holy crap.
He was on the piano. He also attended and performed in a series of three concerts celebrating the 25th anniversary of the Legend of Zelda series in late 2011. Oh, and he played a hand in the soundtrack to the 2016 movie Scott Pilgrim vs. the World.
Yes!
Yeah, it's in the bonus track Enter Goddess on the extended soundtrack. So go ahead and track that down.
I've got it on my phone.
Yeah. So I believe it was the extended edition. But yeah, the track Entered Goddess, which I think is number 31 on the soundtrack, Koji Kondo wrote that. So the thing that is wild to me, and one of the reasons we're talking about him on week three, and this is going to be a shorter episode because I've pretty much covered his entire career already at this point. But here's the thing. He's made so many iconic hits as far as video games go. He's had such a massive impact on pop culture. Would you believe he's never won a single award for his efforts?
I believe it.
Yeah.
Just because of the way the world is written, I believe it.
Yeah. Now, he's only been nominated for three BAFTA awards in 2011 and 2014 for his work on Super Mario Galaxy 2 and Super Mario 3D World, but did not win in either of those iterations.
Hmm. So what I'm getting out of this conversation is that he is the Bill Finger to Nintendo's Bob Kane.
Essentially. Except in this case, Shigeru Miyamoto is also a creative genius.
That's why I said Nintendo.
Yeah, yeah.
Rather than labeling Mr. Miyamoto,
yeah.
Because he too is a worthwhile creative force.
Right. But, I mean, you and I, we both have an extensive history of Nintendo and
yes.
And all that stuff, so I figured we could just talk about some of our favorite Nintendo themes, because chances are Koji Kondo worked on them.
Probably. I mean, I'm going to go basic bitch here and go the Mario 1, Super Mario Brothers 1-1 overworld theme. It's just,
yes.
It is.
Yeah.
It slaps every time.
It's really just like a complete piece. When you think about it.
It
and it
is.
Really just adds to the game in such a way that I think if we didn't have that soundtrack, I don't think Super Mario Brothers becomes the phenom that it does.
Oh, no. Absolutely not.
I'm going to say the soundtrack to Ocarina of Time.
That is a good one, yes.
Yeah. Now, as those who might be following our Prime podcast, Geek Cave podcast, you may know that my opinion on Ocarina of Time, or Okra of Tim, has changed quite a bit over the past few years. And I don't want to revisit that part, but one thing that has not changed is my love for the music. Every single area of the game has a distinct vibe, and I can't think of a bad theme.
No.
You know, from Ganondorf's, like the music that first plays when when you first meet Ganondorf,
mm-hmm.
to the music that plays in the desert when you're trying to sneak into the Gerudo fortress, to Saria's song in The Lost Woods. And this game received a lot of criticism because the Zelda overworld theme is not in the game, but that first bit of music whenever you reach Hyrule Field and the music just kind of ramps up as you go. It's just, give me a sword. I'm going to go charge a mountain right now.
Oh, absolutely.
So yeah, that's pretty much it. Like I said, this was going to be a shorter one because there's not a whole lot else to say, unfortunately, about Koji Kondo. He's still working at Nintendo to this day as an advisor. The last title he worked on was Super Mario Maker 2.
Okay.
As a composer, anyway.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, here's hoping Mr. Kondo can grace us with more of his creative genius.
Yeah. It's a shame that he hasn't been more recognized for his work, but obviously his impact is going to be felt for generations to come.
Well, given the power of the Geek Cave.
Yes.
Before this episode goes up, Nintendo will honor him in such great fashion, and everyone will know about him before this episode drops. That is how it works.
He'll get the Golden Mushroom Award or something like that.
Yes. And if it doesn't happen, then we are in the, you know, an alternate timeline where the power of the Geek Cave is zapped.
Oh, I don't like that. All right. Well, that's all I got this week, so I believe it's your turn next, right?
Oh, I've got something really good for next month.
I'm a little scared.
As you should be.
Bye.